Welcome, everyone. Welcome back to the Ultimate Love Life Makeover, Dating Mastery for Women. I'm Cami Ellen, your host, and I'm so happy that you're here. Each day during this virtual summit, you will learn tips and tools from our world-class experts on all things related to dating and attraction. And this wisdom will help you to date and relate with unshakable confidence and become a woman who can inspire a great love. We're standing for you to create nothing less than lasting, luscious love. Your ultimate love life makeover. So I'm really thrilled to introduce my next guest expert, Michelle Marchant Johnson, who will be talking today on the topic, Five Essential Things Every Woman Needs to Know About Men. I hear from many of you wanting to know what are the most important key things to keep in mind as you date and relate your way to luscious love. Michelle brings a wealth of experience around this topic, so you will leave today with some really valuable ahas and insights about men to help you along your path to love. But first, let me share more with you about Michelle. So Michelle Marchant Johnson is a professional relationship coach, author, and speaker. In her business, lovelifecoaching.com, she works with exceptional women around the world who want to enjoy a loving, passionate, committed relationship with an extraordinary man. She becomes your virtual wing woman to, one, help you identify what may be holding you back, two, walk with you through the potential landmines of dating, and three, providing caring support on your journey to the relationship of your dreams. DatingAdvice.com has named Michelle as one of the top 10 midlife relationship experts for her popular advice. After decades of career success, but frustration, heartache, and disappointment in her love life, Michelle got support, uncovered her own inner blocks to love, and discovered the secrets that have allowed her to meet her Mr. Right. She became an ecstatic first-time bride at age 43 and has been married to the man of her dreams for over 10 years. As a breast cancer survivor, she believes life is precious and is meant to be lived with purpose, love, and joy. She's thrilled to see her amazing clients meet, attract, and find love with Mr. Right and enjoy a happy, loving, passionate relationship. So welcome, Michelle. So excited to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Cami, and hello, ladies. So happy to be here. And I love the theme of your event, Cami, because I think just like we might get kind of used to our own look, you know, the same hairstyle or the same makeup or the same clothing, we can kind of get stuck in a little bit of a rut. And so sometimes just kind of re-looking at everything and creating new possibilities through a makeover can be really powerful. So I'm excited about our conversation today, and thank you for inviting me and for the very kind introduction.
Oh, thank you so much, Michelle. Well, I would love to have you maybe start off with telling everybody, how is it that you came to be a love and relationship coach and expert? Can you tell us a little bit more?
Yes, I'm happy to. That's a long story. I'll give you the short version.
Okay.
So, like so many who are now in this work, who are involved in this work in regards to relationships, dating, love, communication, deepening understanding between men and women, I came into this work through my own challenges and through my own struggles. So as you mentioned in the introduction, I had my own very long and winding journey to love. And I say I shot myself in the foot so many times, it's a wonder I can walk. And I know, kind of a dumb joke, but truth. And I also used to joke around and say that I was going to write this book called Dating for Decades, chronicling all of my dating misadventures and all of the challenges and funny and difficult and fun and interesting experiences that I had along the way. And so for me, it was a challenge. And unlike so many women out there, I was successful in other areas of my life. In my career, I had a great life in many ways, but for whatever reason, I just felt like I was beating my head against the wall in this one area of my life. And we're intelligent women. We think, well, if I can figure out all of these other aspects of life, why is this one such a challenge? It just seems like we should be able to figure it out. But I, like many women that may be here on this event, had my challenges and I had my struggles and I had blind spots. And it's so, so interesting how we can sometimes see those so clearly in other people. Yes. We can see where they're getting off track, but it can be so challenging to see that for ourselves. So really, when I turned 40, that was a big birthday for me, as it is for many women. But it was a big birthday because I really thought, okay, here I am. I'm now in my 40s. Obviously, what I'm doing, it's not like I haven't given it a fair chance. Something here is really not working. So I set an intention not to go out and meet a guy, but to actually uncover, figure out, leave no stone unturned in my own journey to figure out what was really slowing me down and standing in the way. And in so doing, I did a number of things, one of which was I read over 125 books in about an 18-month period of time. I know that sounds crazy.
Wow.
But I was like, so like every book I could find, I had this amazing library of all of these love, dating, relationship books, anything on men and women or communication, anything that I could find. And I did make discoveries and find gems through those books, but still I wasn't having all of the breakthroughs that I wanted, despite this voracious amount of reading that I was doing. So it wasn't until I actually got support, and I've worked with a couple of different mentors in a couple of different ways, that I was able to identify what I call the three F's that were really getting in my way. And I'll just mention these quickly, Kami, because I think it could be valuable to other women out there.
Yes.
Fear not, I'm not going to be profane at your event here, right?
Okay. You're so cute.
These are F words that, let's just say, could be fouling up your love life as they were.
Okay.
So the first F is fears. I had a lot of fears, and some of them were on the conscious level. Some of them were more on an unconscious level. And I'm not talking about the kind of fear that really makes sense, where it's warning you of real danger, but I'm talking about false fears.
Yes.
The fears that we define as false evidence appearing real. Mm. We pick fear up along the way because we're hurt, because we're disappointed. So we develop some fears, and sometimes they're not rational fears, and sometimes they're operating underneath the surface, almost like a, you know, like the hard drive of your computer. You don't see it, but it's really running the whole show, right? So I began to understand some of my deepest fears in a way where I could now confront them and I could now be in choice about them. So that's the first F. This, without going into a lot of detail, I think that makes sense as far as that can be a barrier.
Absolutely.
The second F that was coming up for me that I hadn't really fully seen before, and this seems bizarre because I spent all of my 30s in and out of a relationship with a man, but as I look back on it now, I can see I was in the second F, which is called fantasy. Oh. And that's imagining that a relationship is going to turn into something more than it is, if only, if you have those if only words in there, if yeah. only this man could see this or that, or if only he would be this way or that way, if only he were actually divorced or yeah. whatever.
If only I give it more time.
Right. If only he yeah. sees how wonderful I am because I continue to give and give. Mm-hmm. Right. So I was caught up in fantasy and hoping that a certain relationship would turn into more. And I didn't see that. I didn't see that I was in fantasy. So that's another F word that comes up for a lot of women in one way or another. And then the third F that came up for me was falsehoods, just false beliefs about myself, about men. All the good ones were taken. I was too old. I had missed my chance. You know, all the things that can come up for us. Those can also appear as fears, but they're false beliefs. And yet, if they're strong enough, they can almost make it impossible for us to move forward or to even see the right man who shows up in our lives. So I came to understand that I had those through getting support. And then I was able, once I saw them and understood them on a deeper level, I was able to be more in choice about them. I could see them when they would rise up. They weren't just operating underneath the surface. And I could make different choices, which in turn empowered me, gave me clarity and confidence to be able to meet and attract my now amazing husband. And because that journey was so profound to me, and I know I'm taking a long time to answer your question, I just felt so grateful and so blessed to have figured out what had held me back for all those years, that I really became impassioned about wanting to help other women on their journey. And so then I became trained as a coach and went much deeper with this work in a variety of different ways, and have now had the privilege of supporting women from around the world. Of course, the advantage of having all of that is there's seldom anything that comes up with any of my clients that I don't understand.
Right.
I mean, been there, done that, bought that t-shirt, right? So I just think that's a lot of, for a lot of us, we come from a place of struggle. And I hope that's encouraging and hopeful to the women that are listening, because for many of us that I know you're featuring, because I know other experts that you're featuring, we didn't just gracefully, naturally drop into a loving, happy relationship.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you so much for that background. I think it is definitely very helpful and inspiring and encouraging. And I think probably a lot of people listening might have read lots of books. Like you said, you know, they have all the books, they've, you know, getting all the information, but it's one thing to have all the information and to even understand these concepts. But then another thing, like you were saying, to maybe get the support of a mentor, a guide, a coach, a counselor, someone that can maybe point things out that are behind that glass. You know, we can't figure out why you can't get past that place that you're talking about, and other people can support you to maybe that those murky areas, you know, that you're not seeing, to be able to have those, oh, aha. So I really appreciate you modeling that, because I'm sure a lot of people are probably listening and thinking like, oh, I can relate to that so much. So that's really powerful. Thank you.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, we think we see ourselves so clearly, but it's like we're looking into a mirror and we see a reflection. We're not seeing the side view. We're not seeing, heaven forbid, the rear view, right? It's like we need a little bit of, we need that perspective. We need that outside support. At least I did, and I know many other people do, because it can be very challenging. The books for me were great, but they were just kind of a gateway. They were a beginning.
Yes.
That was where I knew at that time how to start.
Yes.
But that wasn't the destination for me. I picked up gems, but it still wasn't the full picture. So I appreciate you emphasizing that.
Yes. Thank you so much. Well, now that we know a little bit more about you and your background, can you share with us why it is that you chose this topic about getting your things that women need to know, the essential things that women need to know?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me say, and I know, Cami, you and I talked about this, I want to state the obvious. I'm a woman talking about men.
Right.
But the things I'm going to share with you are not just things that I made up or that I have a theory about. These are actual things that I have gathered from interviewing dozens and dozens of men for my events, for specifically my man panel events. And one of the questions that I've often asked men is, you know, what are some of the key things, one or two key things that you think women really need to know about men that may not seem as clear or as obvious just at first glance? And I know that as women, sometimes we can think of men as simple creatures. You know, there are jokes about them. Sometimes there's male bashing about them. Sometimes we think, you know, they're only motivated by one thing, whatever the stereotypes are. And the reason that I wanted to talk about this today is, first of all, because I know as a woman, there were many things that I didn't fully understand about men, even though I thought I was trying to understand a lot about them, that could have made a big difference for me when I was dating. And some of these things I can tell you I've learned the hard way. Mm-hmm. I've learned through experience with my husband and my conversations and interactions with them. And then some of them have been things that these men have shared with me. And another reason I chose this topic is that I believe that when you can understand some of these key things about men and implement them, and that of course is our hope and our goal in offering you guidance or advice or tips, is that you'll implement them, is that it can create this win-win scenario between a woman and a man. You can get better results from your interactions with men, whether they be co-workers, family members, but specifically also in dating. Mm-hmm. So that's why I chose this topic, and I think it will be a fun one.
Absolutely. Well, I love what you're saying, that these things, first of all, you didn't just make them up or pull them out of the air, but you've actually gotten them from the mouths of men who have shared them, and that you really are sharing them because you want this to be a win-win, and not just, these are not just things that apply to romantic partnerships. We come across so many men in our day-to-day lives, and to have these tips to be able to have more of an appreciation for men and being able to cultivate that win-win, that sounds fantastic. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that context.
Yeah, so first of all, I'm going to say this one. This is not one of my five tips, but this is just an overall thing to remember. Men love women who love them, and they can sense if you like or love them. So the first thing I'm going to say is that I really feel like wherever possible, I'd like you to consider where you can catch a man in the act of doing something good, seeing something good in men just that you observe in the world at large, because that's just one overarching truth. I've had so many men, as I've talked to them, tell me that they can tell if a woman is coming from a place of like bitterness, anger, or they're just really not high on men in general. Now, if an individual man has hurt you, and I know many of us have been hurt by one or more individual men, you know, we have to remember the Jackson 5 song, "One Bad Apple Doesn't Spoil the Whole Batch," girl, or whatever that song is. I'm dating myself with that.
That's great.
But you have to remember to not, just as we as women would not want a man to cast a blanket of guilt over all womanhood, all of the women out there, because he'd been hurt by an individual woman. We don't want to do that with men if we want a relationship with one. So if there's healing to be done or work to be done or support to get around that, that's a whole nother conversation. But generally speaking, I just want to have that overarching idea here. And go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that's really good to remember, because I know that when I speak with women, that a lot of times there is that underlying hurt, or that, you know, the things like, oh, all men do X, or all men are this, or all men, and going out into the dating world from that place is not going to be very magnetic to the kinds of men who you want to have partnership with. So that's a really good reminder. Men love women who love them. Right. So, yeah. So, okay, please share more.
Okay, so I'm going to go into five key things. Now, this first one seems really, really obvious, and yet it's not always so obvious in the way that we as women sometimes interact with men. And that is that men have deep feelings and emotions. And I've had a lot of men actually share this with me and say, just because we don't outwardly express our feelings or emotions in the same way as you might as a woman does not mean that they're not there. And in fact, I've had a number of men, Cammie, tell me that they have been so deeply wounded and hurt by a woman who might not have even known how much she had hurt him. I've also had them tell me that a lot of times they fall in love even faster than we might. And so their emotions can be very raw. I kind of think of it like this. It's kind of like, you know, the old idea of women being like still magnolias, where we're like this beautiful flower, soft smelling or whatever on the outside. We're really strong and resilient inside. And I'm not in any way denying the emotions of women, because I am one and I know of our depth and breadth of emotion. But we can be really resilient. With men, sometimes I think because they appear strong or stoic, especially if we're talking about more of a masculine type man on the outside, it's, and because they don't express their feelings or emotions in the way we do, they might not cry as readily or express something verbally, we don't necessarily tap into or understand how deep their emotions and feelings can be. And this goes beyond, you know, just the old stereotype that men only want one thing. They actually do have really deep emotions and feelings and can be hurt very deeply. And there's this idea about the male ego, you know, that a man has an ego. And I've experienced this personally when I didn't fully understand this as deeply as I do now about men's feelings and emotions, where I accidentally, I didn't mean to, but I hurt a man without really meaning to, in a way that it really wounded his male ego. And I can tell you in a couple of cases, Cammie, I never got another chance with that man again. He was not going to allow me to ever do that again. He put up barriers. And that shows how tender those feelings were. He's not going to allow that to happen to him again. So we have to be aware of this in our interactions with them, especially if it's someone that we're interested in having a relationship with, and even with like fathers, brothers, or coworkers, or that sort of thing. Just because they're not expressing things or showing feelings in the way that we might does not mean they're not there.
So in regards to that, with a woman who's in the early stages of dating, so how should she apply that or be mindful of that in the early stages of dating? Is it things like just making sure that you're just, you know, considerate, that you have manners, that you say please and thank you, you have appreciation? Or what should she think about the early stages of dating to be mindful of this?
Yeah, I mean, I think as we go through these five, I think some of that will become self-evident, because I think some of that will play upon that. But I do think, yeah, some common courtesy and kindness in our interactions with men in general, and specifically with men that might be showing an interest, even if it's someone that you're not really interested in, if there's a way you can show some kindness and consideration and just compassion for his humanity.
Yes.
Because think about that. You want that man to be able to move forward with the confidence to date another woman, even if it's not you. Just like you would want another man to not hurt you in a way that you were afraid to move forward to date another man. You know, we want, wherever possible, yes, there are boundaries, and yes, there are, we're, you know, when we're talking about men here, we're talking about the men in general, and we're talking about men that are likely to want to have a real relationship with a woman. We're
yes.
not talking about those outliers of narcissists or people
right.
might just want to get whatever action they can.
Right.
I'm talking about, you know, the vast majority of men who would like to have a real relationship with a woman, whatever their flaws or imperfections might be. And so just as we wouldn't want someone to just cast us aside thoughtlessly, or treat us with disregard or rudeness, I just think there's, in our whole society, there's room for a lot more civility and kindness.
Yes. And sometimes I think that means, what's that expression, putting your big girl panties on? Because sometimes with dating, it can be awkward. And I know I just talked to somebody the other day, and she had gone out with somebody and seemed like it was going well, and he was very interested in her, but she just decided, no, he's not for me. But she hadn't told him that yet, and she was just doing more of the ghosting and thinking like, well, you know, maybe he'll get the message. And we were talking about this concept, what you're saying right now, about just having humanity and letting him know even though it might be awkward and it might be uncomfortable, just to say, you know, I really appreciate what we've shared, but I'm just not feeling like we're a match with a future. And, but thank you. You just, like you said, common courtesy. So thanks for underscoring the importance of that.
Yeah. And I just think that, you know, if we think about how we would want to be treated in the opposite direction, that can be a guide as well. And it does require courage, but then isn't it so much, if you can leave an interaction with the best possible feeling and he can leave an interaction with the best possible feeling, that sets you both up to be able to move on to someone else, to a better fit, if he's not the right fit. And then if he is someone that you're interested in, yeah, just showing a little bit of common courtesy and kindness and being aware of any, what's the word, you know, edge or cynicism or anything like that that might be there that we talked a little earlier about men in general.
Great. Thank you for that one. Okay. And
can I go on to number two?
Yeah, let's go on to number two.
So this one is something that's become really clear for me with my husband. And also in one of the interviews with John Gray that I had, he told me a little story, and I'll tell you just a really short version of it as we go through. But it's, men need to feel competent. This is different than confidence, although that's great too. But they need to feel competent. And so I like to think of this wherever possible, when you're with the man, whether you're on a date, whether you're exploring partnership, or in my case, like you're married, I like to think of this as like a basketball position. Think of yourself as being the guard. You might be moving the ball down the court, and think of the man as being the forward. So you're going to pass the ball off and let him take the shot and let him win. Let him be your hero. Let him shine wherever possible. And especially in those areas, and this is where the competence piece really comes in, especially in those areas that where he considers himself to be competent. Like, for example, my husband is a CPA and an attorney, so he does the books for my book, for my business. Well, I'm thrilled about that because that's not my wheelhouse.
Yes.
But I allow him to be my hero in that area, and I allow him to do this for me, but then I acknowledge, appreciate, let him know how glad I am. I don't have to do that. So he gets to feel like he's really shining in his wheelhouse. He gets to feel like he's really providing something for me that's meaningful and significant, right? And it can be a little thing, but wherever possible, let him shine. Just give him a chance to take that jump shot and put in the basket. You both win. Mm-hmm. The points were still made, but he gets that moment to shine. Because when you think about it, when men are out there in the world, and this is what several of the men have shared with me, they're like, you know, we don't compliment each other in the way that women compliment each other. You know, it's like, hey, dude, but for the most part, they're in competition with each other.
Right.
So when a woman lets a man shine and sets him up even to be her hero and allows him to do something well so that he gets to look like he provided something of value for her, he feels so good. And it's one of those things that fosters romance and love in a man, because he gets to feel good. He gets to feel in his masculinity that he's provided something of value to that woman. So this can be a little thing in dating. And I said I would share with you really quick the John Gray story. He shared with me that when he was first dating his wife Bonnie, in the early stages, they went on some kind of road trip, and he got so lost, he said he ended up not just in the wrong place, but in a totally different state.
Oh, no.
And it was now, you know, they'd driven through the night, and it was now morning, and the sunset was coming up, and she had fallen asleep, and he thought, oh, boy, when she wakes up, she's just going to go, where are we? So lost. And she woke up, and she said something to the effect of, I have no idea where we are, but this is the most amazing sunset, and I would never have wanted to miss it.
And he said,
when she said that he knew that she was the woman for him, because she allowed him, even when he kind of messed up, she still allowed him to kind of be the hero. She set him up for that jump shot because he provided her with the beautiful sunset. Don't you love that story?
I love that story. That's not what you would expect her to say. And that, yeah, I can see why he would think she is the one. You know, it also sounds like when you're talking about this concept of needing to feel competence, that the woman needs to feel comfortable receiving and also making the space. Because nowadays, so many women, we can do everything. We have the job. We make this happen. We make that happen. It's almost, you know, this feeling of like, well, I don't even need a man. I can do everything. And so is there part of that too, like the man feeling like, well, I want to feel like you actually need me, not like you can just do everything yourself and you don't need me.
Well, guess what, Cammy? My number three is men need to be needed.
Oh, great. Perfect.
Thank you for setting me up perfectly. You are so right. And I think one of the reasons that this triggers a lot of women, particularly successful women or women who've gone out there and like made it happen in the world, own their businesses or have careers or whatever, who've gained a certain amount of independence, and we're kind of proud of that, right?
Yeah.
I know because I'm in that boat. And so it kind of triggers us because we're like, well, I don't want to be needy. Mm-hmm. There's a really big distinction between being needy and having needs. As human beings and as women and as men, we all have needs. We have needs. I believe we were created in a way where we all needed each other. I mean, I don't believe you run a successful business or run a successful family or marriage or anything like that all on your own, not as successfully as you can as when you're in partnership. We all have needs, and a man needs to feel needed. And even if he's not needed in the same traditional ways of like the housewives of the 50s or whatever, you know, where a woman might marry a man and she had to be with him in order to have economic stability.
Yes.
You know, that was kind of my mother's generation. Then even if they're not needed in some of those more traditional ways, they need to feel like they have something to offer that is of value to you that you can't really provide to yourself, or even if you can provide for yourself, you would appreciate having them provide it for you. So I gave the example about my husband and him doing my books. But another example is, you know, when my husband and I first got married, it's now been actually over 11 years ago, I was in a position where I did a lot of client-facing visits. You know, I'd go out and visit a lot of executives at different companies and things like that. And so I did a lot of driving all the time during the day. So when my husband and I got married and he did the driving things, I'm perfectly capable of driving, but I would say to him, oh, such a luxury for me to just be able to sit back, relax, and allow you to drive. This comes back to this receiving piece that you're talking about. And so he felt like, well, look at me. I can drive. I'm driving. Look at this. She loves this. She feels really good. You know, I mean, it's almost like you can see them put their shoulders back and puff out their chest because they feel so good that they're providing something for you. Or if we go out to eat and I say, honey, this tastes so good. This is so delicious. It's almost like he's like, yeah, well, look what I provided for her. It's almost like he cooked it himself. And he's so pleased that he can provide that for you. Now, here's one other little key, though. They don't always know what we need from them. Mm-hmm. They don't always intuitively know that. And so that's where not only do we have to be able to receive, but we also have to learn how to gracefully ask for what we want or what we need from them and allow that space for them to step up. But the space piece you brought up is so important, because if we just step right in and take over and do something without giving a man a chance to kind of connect the dots or figure it out, or we guide him a little bit as to what we need or want, then we don't get that same result. We don't get to create that win-win where he feels so good about providing something and we get something that we really wanted provided for us, right?
Yeah. Well, and I'm also thinking as you're talking that so many women that I talk to feel like you were saying, like, I can do everything, I can make everything happen, but they end up feeling alone and like they are under-supported. Oh, I have no support. Because it's this self-perpetuating cycle. You do everything on your own. You seem so competent, so resourceful that people feel like, well, she has it all together. She doesn't need support. And then entering relationship from that dynamic. So what you're talking about here is also this lovely way to break that pattern of feeling like you have no support. You being able to practice, oh, I can release the reins in my life. I don't have to drive every single detail and control everything. I can release that control and allow myself to be supported. And it has this lovely benefit that you're talking about, that your partner or your potential partner, you're actually giving him a gift, which is so awesome. It is win-win. You're saying win-win, and that's what it sounds like. That's lovely. Right.
That's right. And this idea of the space is so important, because as women, we have very active minds. And I'm not saying men don't have active minds, but I do think that sometimes we have to pause a little longer to allow for the space for a man to step up than we might think we might need to if we were doing it, right? So for example, I just think sometimes, like, if you're having a conversation with a man, there needs to be a little bit of longer of a pause to let him talk, to see if something is coming, something is going to come forward, or something more is going to come forward. Or when it comes to having him call or step up in a certain way that you want them to, we sometimes have to really allow for that space. And there can be actual, if you literally think about leaning back, mm-hmm. and you figuratively think about leaning back and allowing space, it's sometimes amazing what will happen when you allow that space instead of step into it, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm.
Well,
it is a gift. It is a gift, because it's kind of like, if you think about these couples, for example, that are married to each other, and maybe the woman is lying in wait to see if the man remembers her birthday or their anniversary or gets the right thing for Valentine's Day or whatever the case may be. It's almost like, instead of setting him up, like I talked about the guard and the forward situation, setting him up to take the jump shot, it's almost like she's setting him up to fail. And yes. What's going to happen if he doesn't do the exact right thing? They're both going to be unhappy. So my husband and I said, you know, it will never happen that he would forget our anniversary, because we'll be talking about it in advance every year, and I'll be sharing with him what my ideas or visions of what I think would be fun. And then I let him implement. So then he gets to do the implementation and I get to enjoy the experience, and we create this lovely win-win. And he's my hero for doing it. But in fact, I actually kind of shared with him what my vision was, or what I really would hope for, and what I really wanted to have happen around that. Does that sound unromantic to you?
No, I mean, the other way is almost like a test. Like you said, like, oh, will he remember? And is he going to do this? And is he meeting my expectations? And I had someone share something similarly about this the other day, where she was really upset because she expected that her boyfriend should text her every day just to mm-hmm. say, hi, how are you? It's not something that he was doing on his own. So she was feeling like, A, he should just know that I want that. Doesn't everybody do that? And B, he must not love me that much. Otherwise, he would be doing that. So she took the step of telling him that she needed that. She got out of her own way of thinking, well, I shouldn't need to tell him. And I spoke to her recently, and now she's so happy because now he's doing that every day. And it's nothing big, just a little, hey, sweetheart, how are you? I love you, or I'm thinking of you. And it totally makes her day. And so I this part about, like, it's not romantic to speak our needs or to tell the other person what we need, that's bullocks. I think it's... what you're saying makes so much sense. Let the other person know what your needs are. And also, I think as you're dating, it's also a great way to find out if someone may or may not be the right match for you. Because if you speak your needs, we know not 110% of the time people are always going to meet your needs, but you want to feel like the other person has an interest in your needs. And how do you know unless you speak them? So there's that aspect too, I think, which is really a great part of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this whole piece around expectations, we could have a whole nother interview on that, but it's really important to recognize that you can't expect, like the example you gave of the client who had this expectation about texting, you can't expect a man to automatically know what your expectations are or for you to know what his might be. And that's why I really feel like having conversations and expressing things that are important to you create a whole new possibility. Because if you're with a man who really cares about you, who really wants to create a relationship or partnership with you, he wants to know these things. As one of the men that I interviewed said, he said, men are terrible guessers. He said, we're terrible guessers. We don't know. We don't automatically know. And so if you assume we know and get mad at us because we don't know, we don't even know what we are in trouble about. We don't even know where we fell. And so if you assume that men are terrible guessers, because I'm using his words, I'm not just saying this about them, then it's helpful to just kind of know, okay, I can give him the assist here.
Yes.
I can throw the ball to him and give him the assist so that he can win, so that he can be my hero. He can get that admiration and appreciation. We both win. That's what I think is so lovely about this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great.
So we've kind of touched on a couple of my last two, and we'll move quickly because I know we're kind of going, taking our time here, but it's a fun conversation. And that is, men want you to feel safe, mm-hmm. and they need to feel safe too, but in a different way. So this comes back to what I said at the beginning, where I talked about men having feelings and emotions. Men need to feel emotionally safe. They need to know that you're not going to be out behind their back, you know, making fun of them about something or talking about your sex life or, dissing him to the girlfriends when he makes a mistake. They need to feel emotionally safe. And if we equate that with how we need to feel not only emotionally safe, but physically safe, we need to feel physically safe around a man. It helps us to understand how important that might be for a man as well, right?
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And it's just something we don't always think about because, again, we think of them as being the bigger, stronger, you know, they've got the world by the tail. He's kind of that masculine man. But they need to feel emotionally safe. They need to know that they're not going to be dissed or made fun of outside of the relationship. And that if they do share their feelings and emotions, that there's a safe environment for you to receive those too, right?
Great tip.
Yeah, and then the last one I'll touch on, there's more, but the last one I'll touch on today is that I really do believe that, and this comes back to the space thing we were talking about and receiving, men really do feel it fall in love in part by doing. So by doing. And so we have to allow, again, that space for them to provide, to pursue, to step up, to be a man, to feel that masculine energy. If you want that romantic sexual polarity that comes with the attraction of being more on the feminine side of things, and you want that to be with more of a masculine man, we have to allow the space and the opportunity for a man to step up and do, because it's only as he does things, and that means he invests his time, his energy, his intention into getting to know you, to spend time with you, to provide something of value for you, even if that's, you know, an evening out or a dinner or a compliment or whatever, where he gets to be the hero. Those are some of the key ways that he develops more romantic feelings. Whereas if that's not happening, a lot of times you end up more in the friend zone, or it ends up to be more like a businessy buddy or type relationship. So I always think of this, you know, when you're in for those of you that have been like to London or in the UK, you know, they have the subways and then they have these signs all over the place that say mind the gap, right?
Mind the gap. Okay.
Okay. And I think this is just a little way you can kind of think about this, along with the both literally and figuratively leaning back and allowing that space. Mind the gap, meaning allow that space to be there without you feeling like you need to move things along. You need to step into that space. Allow the space, because that is what gives you more to go on in terms of whether how interested this man is, whether he is going to step up, whether he is going to pursue. But if you're prompting things along with a text or a phone call or whatever subtle thing you might think you're doing, they know what's happening. They do get that. They're not clueless when it comes to these little prompts that we sometimes do. And if we step into the gap, a lot of times, instead of having the intended effect of motivating him, it actually has the opposite effect and takes away some of his motivation for pursuing you as that particular woman. And you want to stand out as a woman of high value. You don't want to be available just like that. You don't want to be that woman that is just always there and always, you know, especially in the early stages of dating. You want to stand out as someone that is the prize, so to speak. And I know some of this might sound very traditional, but if you want that kind of relationship, you really do have to be aware of that gap and allow him that opportunity in that space, even if it takes him a little longer than what you might think you might like, right?
So what did they say? What did the men say? Because sometimes I think in the dating world, you're talking about the gap, mind the gap. Mm-hmm. And sometimes women can start to feel a lot of anxiety or start to feel like, oh no, I thought we had a great time. It seemed like everything was going really well. I haven't heard from him. Maybe I should just drop him a text, or maybe I should just to remind him I'm still here, or just to, you know, move him along. So what did the men say about that? And about, you know, like, when is the gap too much and you should just take another train? You know, when should you decide, okay, well, he doesn't seem to be making the move? How do women know how to balance that? What did the men say about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say a little bit about what the men say, but I'm going to give you my one-liner for this, first of all, and that is, when in doubt, wait it out.
Wait it out. That's a good one.
Because, and I'll tell you why I say that, and then I'll tell you a couple of things the men said. I have talked to so many women over the years, and far more women regret sending that text or regret making that phone call or regret doing that prompt than in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that there's never a chance, you know, there's no hard or fast rules that work in 100% of every situation. But I am saying what I've found with working with women over the last number of years and in my own love life, when in doubt, wait it out has served us very well, myself and my clients in most situations. You know, I don't know if there is a specific like time frame, because every relationship goes at a different pace or a different way. Sure. But if you feel like you've left a man with a really positive feeling, you know, like you've had a date and it's ended on a positive note and you've appreciated and acknowledged what he's provided for you, and maybe, you know, touched him on the arm or let him know that you were attracted to him in some way, it's fine after that date to say, you know, had such a great time, you know, hope we can get together again, or whatever you might want to say. But above and beyond that, if he doesn't call, I still really feel, and I've had a lot of men say this too, that there's value in kind of waiting it out, because what the men have told me, and this was your original question, is that sometimes they're kind of figuring it out. Sometimes they really liked the women, but they're kind of like, they're kind of nervous, or because they really think they could fall for this woman. Or maybe they're just kind of like, sorting some things out in their own life, and they just kind of need a little bit of time to decide how and when they're going to proceed. The frustrating part for us is we don't know what's going on in their minds or their heads. We don't know what's going on in their lives. But I can tell you that even very shy, introverted kind of men can figure out how to make the next step. We don't have to connect the dots for that.
They can figure it out.
They can figure it out. We have to give them credit for that. They can figure out how to step up and make it happen to see a woman again. And what I actually love about this space too, this gap, is that it gives you time also to kind of really catch your breath if you're really attracted or there's really great chemistry, to catch your breath, to go out there living your life fully and joyfully, and just allow that space to see what a man does. You kind of start seeing how ready he is or how interested he is, where if you're prompting it along, you kind of don't know
that.
You kind of don't know that. And at the end of the day, we all want to be with someone that we know has really chosen to be with us. Yeah. And I just think it allows that to happen and for that to unfold more naturally and gracefully if we do mind the gap. So I still stick with my advice, which is when in doubt, wait it out.
I love that. That is a great slogan. Well, these are very powerful. And I think that in listening to all of these, it's very clear how powerful and essential they are. But for anyone listening who's asking, well, why are these so essential? Why should I care? Do you have anything else to add about why these are so essential?
Well, I just think the more we know about ourselves and the more we know about men in general, and of course we're speaking in general terms here, everyone is an individual, but the more we understand about them, the better we can set ourselves up to have more successful relationships in the workplace, in our families, and particularly in our dating and in our romantic lives. And I can tell you, if I would have understood some of these things, some of the nuances of what we've been talking about here, because some of them on the surface might seem obvious, but there's nuances to some of these things that if I had known, I would have navigated certain situations in my dating life differently and more successfully. And I probably wouldn't have fallen into some of the pitfalls that I fell into along the way. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've just scratched the surface here, but I'm hoping that some of these things can be valuable and helpful to all of the ladies out there who are listening and who are in the middle of dating and just overall in our interactions and relationships with men. Because I do believe that some of the greatest joy in our lives can come from having these kind of partnerships and these kind of relationships. And so I really want to do everything that I can do to put that out into the world and to offer what I can to be of help and of service.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you. Well, I want to be respectful of your time, and I appreciate everything that you've had to share. And is there anything more that you'd like to leave us with?
There is just one last thing, Cammie. I like to end with this because I know for me, going through all those years of being a single woman and being so frustrated and being hurt and disappointed along the way, it was very painful. And I want to acknowledge the reality of, you know, what it's like to be there. And I also want to say, on a hopeful note, that no matter what the past has held for you, no matter what real or perceived mistakes you feel like you've made along the way with men or in the decisions that you've made in your relationships or things that haven't worked for you, I want to encourage you to forgive yourself. That can sometimes be the hardest thing to do. Give yourself that grace and kindness that we're talking about. And also do whatever work you need to do to forgive those who've hurt you in the past so that you can be free to move forward and to really open your heart and love fully and passionately and joyfully, because it's one of the greatest gifts and blessings of life.
Oh, you are such a dear. That's so uplifting. Such sound advice. Well, I have certainly loved speaking with you. It's been such a juicy, interesting conversation. And I know there's so much more that you have to offer and share. And you have a gift, a free gift that you're offering today. Would you like to share about that with the women that are watching and listening?
Yeah, thank you, Cami. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Yeah, we've just scratched the tip of the iceberg. And the gift that I have, I think you will really like. It's a three-part series that my husband and I did called Get Your Good Guy GPS. Mm-hmm. And the first, it's a three-part class. The first part, we talk about kind of fine-tuning your inner GPS guide to help guide you to the right man. The second piece is about helping guide you to identify and certain things to look for and to watch for in terms of in a man, in specifically in the right man. And then in the third part, we talk about some of the commonly asked questions. And the great thing about this series is you will hear both the male and the female perspective. My husband has kind of been drafted into service on a number of occasions. He does a fantastic job and gives amazing advice. The women love him. Sometimes I think he's better at it than I am. but I think you'll really enjoy that. And they just click on the link underneath the interview to get that, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. To get this free gift that Michelle is talking about, Get Your Good Guy GPS, the three-part masterclass, all you have to do is find the link. It's just below where you are watching or listening, and you will get that gift. Once again, Michelle, thank you so much. I truly enjoyed our conversation today, and I love the wisdom and the insights that you have shared with all the women who are really wanting to create this love life makeover of their own and become masterful daters. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Cami. Thank you for the opportunity, and lots of love to all of you out there.
Oh, thank you. And thank you, everyone who is here. All of you who have been listening and watching, we really appreciate having you with us for the Ultimate Love Life Makeover Summit. And after you take advantage of Michelle's Get Your Good Guy GPS three-part masterclass, you can find out more if you'd like to own this interview and listen back to it as much as you would like, as well as all of the other speakers' content in the Ultimate Love Life Makeover. You can find out more about how to do that. You can scroll down below on the page, or you can go to ultimatelovelifemakeover.com/VIP. And again, you'll be able to listen back and access all of the content as much as you wish. So thank you so much, everybody, for being with us. And we look forward to being with you next time for the Ultimate Love Life Makeover. See you soon and take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.